you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, what's up? This is Militia, as in Militia is my name, as in Militia from Judas Priestess, as in Militia Vox. And you're listening to Talking Metal.
Calling all metal freaks, this is Talking Metal. Tonight's guest, Militia. And now, your hosts, Mark and John.
Thank you, Bud Friendly. Hey, I'm sitting here at the Gibson Guitar Showroom with Mark Striegel and our very special guest, Militia, who is our good friend from Judas Priestess, her solo act, Militia Vox. And you guys might have seen her on MTV2, Fuse, and VH1 as a VJ.
Yeah, Militia, thanks so much for joining us for what, the third or fourth time?
Fifth? Something like that. Yeah. I was trying to think of how many times I've been here with you guys. I think it's four. This is the fourth time.
Sounds right. Mm. And it's so great to have you back. We love to catch up with you every now and again because you always have so much stuff going on. What is the current status of Judas Priestess, I should say? I saw you playing a gig in Alaska. That's amazing. How do you get a gig in Alaska?
They have approached us every year since our incarnation to play in Alaska. I guess there's a lot of like Eskimo metalheads or something. But, they've asked us every year, and every year, like, there's always, like, one girl in the band that can't do it. And this year, I finally was like, fuck that shit. I was like, we're going. And I was like, you guys have something else going on? I was like, bullshit, cross it off. I was like, we're going. So this venue up in Juneau said that they want us for Halloween, so we're going to do a Halloween
Juneau,
party.
Is that by Anchorage, or where is
that's
that?
That's, like, in the heart of the state. That's the capital.
Oh, okay.
That's the state capital. So we're doing Halloween and November 1st in Juneau.
That's awesome.
At Marlantini's Lounge, it's called. It's a pretty cool spot. I mean, I've seen videos of it online. They've had, like, national, international acts in there. And they got a budget. They figured, I guess, like, not a lot of people are going to be, like, touring through Alaska. So they got to, like, kind of cough up the beans to get some people to come out there and entertain their frigid asses.
Right.
Yeah.
I know since the early days when you came on with Judas Priestess, the members, certain members have changed. Can you tell us who is currently in the band?
The current lineup for 2013 is myself, obviously, on vocals. Gita Gash, co-founder on bass. And we have Josette, who's been in there for 2 years now on lead guitar. We have Hillary Blaze on drums. She's been there for about 2 years. And our latest member to our coven is Miss Raina Sands, a.k.a. Raina Petrucci, on guitar.
Very, very cool. Any relation to Roxy Petrucci?
No, but related to...
There is a relation.
Yeah, there. She's married to John Petrucci of Goon Theater.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Very cool.
That's awesome.
Roxy, now
she
I don't know,
is the
Roxy...
drummer from Vixen.
From Vixen, yeah.
We actually spoke to her because when JoJo, our original drummer, had to step down due to health problems, we were frantically looking for a girl that could play this shit, and there was like zero. And we started thinking, oh, what about those girls from Vixen? Those girls can play. Like, wouldn't that be cool to get like the drummer, you know, Roxy up in here? And she was interested, but she lives in Detroit. She lives far away. So she said, yeah, if you're ever passing through, you know, give me a shout and I'd love to like guest play with you guys.
That's very, very cool.
Yeah.
Now, how is this that it's really cool? John Petrucci, great guitar player, and now his wife, also a great musician.
Yeah. I mean, she's phenomenal. I mean, most people, unless you're like part of the local scene, like New York, New Jersey scene, I don't know if how big the band was that she was in before, but they were very popular in the 80s, a band called Mean Streak.
Okay.
And they were all girls and really heavy. You know, and they were doing their thing. And then, like, I guess, like, three out of those girls end up marrying guys from Dream Theater. It's kind of weird how that happens.
Now, here's the thing. It's hard enough for, like, bands just to find new members. But yeah. I bet it's harder for a group that's an all-female Judas Priest band to find members. Now, how did you guys go about finding the new people in your group?
You have no fucking idea. It's, like, damn near impossible. Because it seems like, I mean, there's a lot of, I shouldn't even say a lot. There's a small percentage of girls that play. However, for whatever reason, they're not encouraged to be like great at their craft, a lot of them. I think a lot of them get by on tits and ass and hair and lipstick and makeup and whatever, you know? And it was really hard to find girls that were on the same level, especially playing this kind of stuff.
Right.
Like, there's certain positions, like, if you can't play, it shows. You know, everybody has to be top-notch. You can't have any weak links. I mean, you're only as good as your weakest link. You know, so it's like, I mean, I think one of the hardest positions to fill was drums. Was damn near impossible. And Hillary lives in Boston. She commutes all the way down from Boston to play with us. Because,
wow, that's far.
Yeah, there's no really good projects up there to use her abilities, you know, for her anyway, at least that she's found. And there's no girls around here that are playing this heavy type of music. So it's worth it. She will commute because it's worth it to her to play with girls that are on her level.
Right. I mean, because to play Judas Priest stuff, you've got to be a double bass player.
Yeah.
You've got to be a heavy hitter.
Sure.
You know, you can't be like, you know, no offense to this kind of music, but like, you
know, no,
like,
offend. Please.
Oh, yeah. You know, like, you know, maybe like the Runaways were a great band, but they were more of like a kind of like a rock and roll punk thing. Like,
right.
You and I used to be like the only guy in a female fronted group called Cherry Red. And we were playing like, you know, I wasn't doing anything spectacular in that band on the drums.
Were you the cherry?
Yeah, I don't know what I was. And you know, I wasn't playing like, you know, some technical drumming, but Judas Priest, I mean, Scott Travis, current drummer of the band, you know, huge, phenomenal player.
Sure.
Not to mention Lester Binks, my favorite drummer of the band. Who,
yeah.
When Lester was in the band, he just had such swing, which, you know, on those two records, I believe he did with them, there was just a phenomenal drummer and very overlooked and very different drummer from some of the other drummers who are in the band. So obviously a cover band like Judas Priestess is going to need a very diverse drummer, you know, who can handle all the different styles of all the different drummers that Judas Priest had.
Right. Right. There's that. But we also kind of like take things and like add our own like sexy little female spin on it. So there's some parts where like we will take liberties and be like, oh, you know, it would sound really great, you know, if we added kick during this part. Or we added double bass during this part to keep the adrenaline going. So, like, we've kind of, like, sauced out a couple parts where it's like, well, if I wrote it, I would love it if it did this, you right. know? So, I mean, please, we all wish we wrote it, right?
Yeah.
But like finding a drummer was a horrifying process. I was so relieved when we found Hillary. I'd actually met Hillary like a couple of years back because she was in an all-girl band called Jaded from Boston.
I had heard of Jaded, and yeah. I know that they had played at a couple of KISS conventions, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I was actually good friends with Britt Lightning, who's the guitar player. And it was crazy because there was a period of time where we needed a guitarist, and Britt wanted to do it, and then we ended up taking someone else.
Wow.
And then she ended up getting this, like, overseas gig. Like, she's, like, touring, like, Spanish-speaking countries now.
Wow.
Like, so she would have had to drop out anyway.
Yeah, so
it was kind of
it ended up working out yeah, better in your out. Case because then you would have been back on a guitar player searching.
Yeah.
If you would have.
But then when we had to replace our, you know, when we've had to replace guitar players, man, that equally sucks as well because a lot of girls are, like, maybe kind of strong-ish rhythm players, but as far as soloing, forget right. about it. It's just like, now it's very disheartening, you know? It's very disheartening. And then I start getting precious about what I have with these girls because I'm like, I feel really lucky to be with, like, the most badass bitches around because these other girls just can't hang. I mean, the audition process was fucking... I wish I had video of it. It was fucking horrendous.
Now, some of the girls that were in the band and left the band, was that because musically they weren't pulling it or was there other conflicts involved with them?
Yeah. Well, so far only one girl has left due to, like, you know, personal reasons, which I'm sure I'm still not even sure what her reasons are exactly. It's kind of like weird, but that's the dynamic of girl bands. It's really hard to keep them together. We played this game before yeah. in the room outside. Name a girl band that's had all original members longer than 3 years. Go.
I don't know.
There are lots of words. We cannot. I think it's impossible to do, right?
I don't know. I'd like to think that it's not, but. It the statistics don't lie.
Yeah,
or
what about
the
Kitty?
Numbers don't lie.
How
they're
long?
Not original members.
Yeah, right.
There's Mercedes and there's Morgan and that's it. Everyone else is hired guns, you know. So it's like, I don't know what this says about females, but speaking from experience, if someone who's been in, you know, all male bands and I was the only girl, and then been in all girl bands like several times, it's like, it is a different energy. And you deal with shit you wouldn't even believe in a girl band that you wouldn't deal with in a guy band.
Get out. So, because Mark and I both have experience with all girl bands. As I was saying, I was the drummer in an all girl except for me band, and then Mark's wife Emily was the singer in an all girl band. But I don't know if they had a guy drummer. I guess.
Yeah, they had like a guy drummer, and
sometimes that happens. Yeah. We've had to play with a guy before. Because we couldn't find a drummer.
Wow.
It was like fucking, I was like, look, I was like, there's like two things that we could do. There's two ways to go about it. We either put a girl on that sucks,
right.
or we put a guy on that's great. I would rather play with a great guy.
Great guy, yeah.
And so that's how we figured it out. And this guy, my friend Mike Manza, stepped in. And he was Michelle for 24 hours. And
did he dress
good.
Up like a girl? Or?
No, you wish. I saw you get excited. Did you dress up like a girl in your girl band?
No.
But you were still the cherry.
Yep. Yeah, I was the...
the cherry.
Yeah, that's why I have black hair, believe it or not, because all the girls in the band, when I was in it, looked like... from the Addams Family?
Morticia.
Morticia, yeah.
Hot.
And they all had straight, long, black hair. And when I joined the band, I looked like I was like the drummer from Slaughter or something like that. And I had like long, curly, blonde hair. So that was the transition.
You had long, curly, blonde hair?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Are you naturally curly?
Naturally, slightly curly. And I used to be naturally like...
Did you get
like
a perm?
Hair. I had perms and
you
I had
a perm.
Yeah,
you
back
cannot
in the day.
Edit this
I
out,
know. We
John.
We'll leave it in. We'll leave it in. Yeah.
You had a perm?
Yeah.
The fuck? Did you have a perm?
Yeah. So thank you. Gary's producer. Bud Friendly's producing. Yeah. I had a perm. I think I had four perms like in 87, 88 era. Yeah.
You heard it here, folks.
The first one I had, I came home with the perm and my dad was like, what the hell? He's like, you go back. He's like, what happened? And I was like, I went to the salon in downtown. I got the, and he was like, and it was like, I spent all my own money on it. It was expensive.
It was
like
your perm. Yes.
An 11th grader. And he was like, we're going to the barber shop. And he took me down. And
they cut it all off.
Yeah.
I was so stupid that I didn't really even have long hair, and I took a picture of Robin Crosby from Rat into this hair salon, and I said, I want to look like this. And the lady's like, well, there's really no way that you're going to end up like it. And I said, no, yeah, it's going to look just like it. And so they gave me this perm, and it was so bad that, like, I think I was in ninth grade. I went home and it came out so not like Robin Crosby. And I just remember, like, going, and there was this, I just put my head down and I was like in my room and I was like probably crying. I'm like, I can't believe this. It was the worst haircut you've ever, I mean, it wasn't the hairdresser's fault. It was my fault, because she just blatantly said, there's no way that you're going to look like Robin Crosby.
Well, they still went for it and took your money, right?
Yeah. They still did.
Yeah.
And but then I later wound up getting perms, and I kind of looked like Bon Jovi for a while. And then after that, I looked like Mike Tramp or something from White Lion, or Blossy Lies from Slaughter.
Did you get laid like Bon Jovi?
No, like, because that's the mental brain part of me screwed that part up. But if I would have just kept my mouth shut, I could have possibly gotten laid more. But
I went through a big Shirley Temple phase where I had also had a blonde perm. Thank you.
Very, very revealing by all of the Talking Metal team here. Mark, me, and of course Bud Friendly with that tidbit.
I didn't need a perm. I never need a perm. I did straighteners. I did the opposite.
Ah,
yeah, cool. No, it was terrible. It was terrible because, like, why even mess with this? Just let it go. You know what I mean? Like, it's my hair. That's how it grows out of my head.
You're lucky. People who don't have naturally curly or hair with body want it, you know?
Right. And when I was growing up, I used to want straight hair because I thought, oh, I would, like, look more normal or whatever. When I feel like maybe there's no way for me to look normal ever. So
where did you grow up, Melissa?
I grew up in Maryland.
Maryland.
Like, in the middle of a horse farms. And fucking, like it was very, like, country, suburban type area. And I was just this, like, one weirdo kid in the middle of, like, all these normal people. And, like, of course, like, went to private school, so it just made me weirder. And, like, you know, it was just, like, more weird. Anything more that my parents could have done to make me more odd or off the beaten track, like, they did it. They didn't realize that they were doing it, but that's how it ended up.
And did you come directly to New York from Maryland?
Absolutely.
Were there,
yeah. Well, I mean, I went to college in Boston, so that was, like, my incubator before I came to a bigger city. Yeah, you went to school in Boston?
Yes.
Where'd you go?
Well, for a year, I went to Berkeley.
Oh, I went to Boston Conservatory.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I used to live on Hemingway.
Oh,
that's where I met
I
him.
Know it
actually.
Well,
the Hemingway dorms. Yeah.
Oh shit, that's fucking crazy.
I didn't live in the Hemingway dorms, but he did.
I lived on the Fens. I was on the Fenway.
Oh, okay.
You know the Fens.
Yeah.
Holy shit, I saw some shit in there, honey.
Wow.
That shit is wild. Did you ever go in there?
You know, I would walk through the Fens, like, on the way over to, like, places like Axis. Was that
I
a club?
I used
to work at Axis. Very cool.
I was a
cool.
Go-go dancer. Oh my god.
Wow.
That's anyone. Yeah.
I once made. Yeah. Well, it's out there. I once made fake Axis backstage passes, and then I realized this was like in like 1988 or 9 or something like that. Yeah, I can't get you. But here's the funny thing. What I realized is that, and this is a really cool thing, this is back when backstage passes, it was like a white piece of paper with like the word Axis and a skull on it or something. But here's the funny thing. Mine looked exactly the same because it was just like a photocopy on sticker paper. But they did it on paper that wouldn't glow in blacklight, and my passes were like bright purple. So like I don't think I ever even used them. Like, but I got the idea to make them, and then I quickly realized the first time I went there that mine weren't on the right kind of paper.
Yeah. I used to work at all those clubs. I heard that they're not even there anymore on Lansdowne Street. Like, what was it? Avalon, Axis, Lansdowne Playhouse, Mamakin. like they all like share the same staff. So when I was in college, I would like, you know, 8 a.m. liberal arts and then like ear training and piano and tap dancing and ballet dancing and theater and Shakespeare class and rehearsal for whatever show I was in, and then grab dinner and then go to the club and dance for however many hours wearing like a butterfly costume or like dressed as like some exotic creature, like and swing in a huge, you know, in a swing on the ceiling while there's like 2,000 people rolling on ecstasy dancing underneath me.
Right. Wow.
And then I would leave at like 2 a.m. with like a nice check and then get up and do it again. Yeah. So like I didn't sleep much.
The channel, was that around when you were there?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, the channel. Yeah, we're really? Older than you are. Yeah, I remember seeing King Diamond and Trouble, double
cool.
bill at the channel.
I saw Paul Stanley solo tour 1989, and Warrant was the opening act at the channel.
Jeez.
Yeah, and this is before I understood like that what like taped background vocals were. And after the gig, I was at some place and I was talking to one of the guys in Warrant, and I was like, man. And I think that he thought that I was being sarcastic, like, and I was like, those backup vocals are freaking great. And like, he's thinking that I'm going like, you idiots are taping your backup vocals. But I meant it. I was like, man, they are great. And I go, I can't believe how good they are.
Like, see, now that shit's like standard. Now everyone does it. I mean, I don't do it, but like so many people do it. It's like, it's almost like if they don't do it, it's like, oh, well, your show doesn't sound as full.
Right.
Like the audio doesn't sound good. And I'm just like, I don't know. It's to me as a performer, like I'm a little anti it for my own purposes. Like I can't even imagine being at a stage where it's like you have to do taped background vocals. But I've been a part of shows where things were heavily taped. And it's just kind of like when you're on the road and you're banging out a lot of shows in a row, it is a safety net. So you know that everyone consistently sounds good. Like I understand their purpose. But I've been to shows where the lead vocals were on a tape. And that shit blows my mind because I'm like, why are you showing up to work? Because that just means that you can't deliver. You know, like, why are you showing up to work? When there's
I'd rather
other bands
see somebody
that are
like
out
with a hoorse voice and sing out of tune than sing.
Me
you
too.
Know.
I would rather see like
it's the whole thing about live playing. Like,
right.
I would rather see
it live. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Which is a great segue because I ran into you at the Sabbath concert.
Oh yeah.
And it's not a great segue, but I thought Ozzy. I mean, I was expecting the worst because he'd obviously had some trouble at the Texas shows, and there were video clips circulating. Man. But I thought he sounded pretty good for a guy in his mid-60s. What was your opinion?
I heard some fucking wonky notes, man.
Yeah.
I was just like, ugh. Like, it's like, I love Ozzy so much. I think him as a person, he's so cool. I love his whole energy. I love the empire he's created. You know, I think it's fucking phenomenal. I like his lyrics. I think they're smart lyrics. And, you know, he's an icon for a reason. You know, it's not like one of those people that's like, they're famous for what? It's like, no, he's created something.
Right.
He put his stamp on it, and it's grown into this thing. Sabbath is one of my favorite bands of all time. I was geeking out like a child at this show. You know, bad notes or anything, but I at least was just like, at least there's no tape. At least he's doing it for real.
Yeah.
I appreciate hearing his live voice.
Yeah.
More exactly. So than wanting to hear like the recordings that I have at home, you know, that I could listen to at my leisure.
Yes.
You know, so like when he hit some fucked up notes, I was just like, oh man, that's ballsy.
Right.
Cause it's like, you know, the money that's probably on the line for each show. I mean, he's
like
making some great fucking money.
There.
Yeah.
Insane.
And you know what? Everyone was happy.
Yeah.
There were so many people I spoke to, though, that were like, there was one thing I didn't like about that show, and that was the price gouging. I felt like they gouged the fuck out of their fans.
Yeah, you don't even, we had 11th row, and I'm not even going to say what we paid for tickets.
Say it.
We didn't, well, okay.
Go for it.
We didn't scalp tickets. We bought them officially through Live Nation or whatever, and it was like the VIP package, and they were, I think, $350 a seat. You know,
I thought you were going to say more than that.
No.
Like I thought you were going to say 1,000.
No,
because, you know, they did have VIP packages with the meet and greet that were 1,000.
Yeah, 1,000.
And they were selling out.
Yeah, you could meet Ozzy for like 2 minutes and have in the first 10 rows for 1,000.
Sharon's
I wanted
a
to do that, but my
everyone
wife like,
wanted
no
to
way.
Do that too. Sharon's a motherfucker. I love that bitch. Yeah. And you know why? Because she just does it. Like, people would be like, that's preposterous. That's crazy. You can't ask for these. She does it.
Right.
And people pay it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's amazing what she's done. I saw her sitting backstage. I saw her
she was
sitting
at that
back
show?
There.
Yeah. At the PNC show.
Because I had passes for that show. I was like, she was sitting right side of the stage watching everything. And I was like, you fucking work, bitch. Like, that's her man. She is running the business of his life. And it's just, she's there. Like, if it wasn't for her, who knows where Ozzy would be? Seriously.
Very
Let's
true.
Be realistic. You know?
No doubt
so,
about
behind
it.
Every man, there's
a strong woman. Yep.
Ain't that right?
I want to just insert a little interlude here.
A little cherry.
Yeah, a little cherry.
Yes.
I recently bought this DVD, and it's a reissue, and it is called... and I'm having a mental block. What's the live Speak of the Devil? Mm-hmm. And it's not the Speak of the Devil album, but what it is, it's a concert from, I think, Irvine, California, of Ozzy with Brad Gillis on guitar, and they're doing like, you know, like the regular Diary of a Madman tour, and Ozzy sounds amazing on this concert, and I think it's a must have for any fan of Ozzy. Go buy the Speak of the Devil DVD.
Yeah, I used to have that on Betamax. Taped
ooh,
it off the TV.
Take it back.
That was like an MTV concert or something. Yeah, but let's get back on track to what Militia is actually up to. In 2013, you got the CBGB's festival coming up. What are you doing there?
I'm actually doing two events. It's so cool to be on this like CBGB's festival. It's cool that like they're keeping the spirit of CBGB's going in this way.
Where does it take place?
At venues all around the city.
Okay. All right.
So it's kind of like the South by Southwest model in a way. So a bunch of venues around the city, but there's a stage in Times Square, too. I'm not on that stage. Right. I don't know who is, but someone is. And, like, just the fact that, like, I mean, that name is respected,
you know,
for good reason. I played every room in CBGB's. I played the main stage. I played the gallery upstairs and downstairs. I loved that place, you know. So I'm glad that I think it's Hilly's daughter is keeping it going and her partners and stuff like that. So it was a real honor to be asked to be a part of it. I'm doing the Women in Music panel that's going to be at the Sunshine Cinemas on Thursday the 10th from 4 to 5, Thursday, October 10th. And I believe it's like me and Zena Coda from SiriusXM.
Okay.
And
people can ask you guys questions or you talk
about we're
the
talking
music
in
business.
Yeah, we're talking about being a woman in music and just like, the shit that happens, you know, because it's definitely a different experience as a female, you know, as much as I used to think that it wasn't going to be different. It is different to be a female in the business of heavy metal versus being a male. It is different. And then throw like extra oddity into it to be a black female in the heavy metal business.
Yeah.
And so I get picked for panels now.
Awesome. Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, like, I have no choice, right? But, like, so I spoke at South by Southwest this year talking about black women in rock, which was amazing because I was sandwiched between Clive Davis and Stevie Nicks.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was, like, fucking amazing. I was just like, oh, Clive Davis speaking. Oh, my panel's about to start. Like, what the fuck?
Wow.
That was awesome. But
I thought you meant you were sitting between them. I was
No.
What
but I'm saying the panel order.
Rock?
No, the order of events is what I mean. Ew, a sandwich of Clive Davis, me, and Stevie, which takes Clive out and then put Dave Grohl in.
Hold the mayo.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's got enough mayo for everyone. But that was filthy. You hear in his new book, he like talks
bisexual
about being bisexual and da 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 da.
I haven't read it, but I heard about it. Yeah.
That's all you need to know, really. I mean, what else do you need to know? Mm-hmm. I feel like that was like the hook to like get people like interested. But
yeah.
I don't know. It's not that he doesn't have intelligent things to say about music, because obviously he does. But
got to sell books.
Yeah, he's trying to sell books. It was just obvious to me. And I don't like devices that are that obvious. But so now, like, I'm doing, like, panels now. So I'm doing this panel at CBGB's at Sunshine Cinemas to talk. The panel's called Women in Rock, or Women in Music, The Good, The Bad, and The What the Hell is the official name of it, which I think is very fitting.
Cool.
And I'm trying to think who else is on that panel.
If you knew who else was going to be on the panel with you.
I'm getting my panels confused, I think, because I have another panel next month. But let's keep this tight. So CBGB's Festival on the 10th, 4 to 5 at Sunshine Cinemas is the Women in Music panel.
Cool.
And then I'm doing the performance at the Canal Room at 10 p.m. It's the Women in Music. It's called the She Rocks panel.
Is it like a backup band with you? Like, or
well, here's the thing. Yeah. Like, I'm going to get into that in a second, too, because that's very exciting. And then the other panel I'm doing is I'm playing Austin closer to Halloween time, and I'm doing the Women in Music Conference, the Meow Cotton, the girl that started Rocker Girl magazine, Carla DeSantis Black. So the panel I'm doing there is with Janine Fury from Decibel.
Okay.
She's the moderator, and it's about, like, women in metal.
Excellent.
So that's good shit. So that's going to be down there in Austin.
Wow. Well, you're staying busy, and there's more.
Yeah.
Militias, Heavy Metal, House of Voodoo.
Yes.
What is this?
All right, so this is exciting.
Is this a Halloween thing?
Well, every day is Halloween for me, okay. Mark. I mean, look at me. But, no, really what it is that, like, I just kind of, like, got sick of, like, seeing what's out there today. And I was like, God, I was like, everyone's like trying so hard to seem flawless. Like, everyone's trying so hard to seem like they got their shit together. Like, their act is tight. Their look is tight. Their, you know, what do they call it? Like, Fatut's team, like the team that like coordinates them, their makeup artists, their hair person. Blah, 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 blah. They got to look a certain way. They got to act a certain way. They got to dress a certain way. They got to wear certain clothes. Like, all this shit, like, just kind of like was making me ill. And I was like, you know what? All these like pretty princesses, everyone's trying so hard to be perfect. I was like, what does every princess need? A villain.
Right.
And I was like, I would like to be the opposite of everything that they stand for. Because I am. I already think that way. And I know a lot of people that aren't into like the things that are trendy right now. And there's trends like, you know, between like in the pop world and like even the rock world has trends, and like the hipster world has their own trends with their fucking beards and their full sleeve, you know, fill it up, you know, with whatever tattoos, mm-hmm. you know, like that shit is so impersonal. And like, to me, it's insulting as an artist or to be considered an artist and just like take on this like attitude of genera. So I was like, I want to create like this concept. I shouldn't even say it's like a character, but in a way it is. Like, it's just like a concept of being like the antithesis of all that shit. So I created this project called The Villainous, and I've been incubating
when you say project,
it.
Project is it performance, music? Obviously, because mm-hmm. I mean that's what you do, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I am trying to create something that is like more multimedia, as opposed to just being like, oh, this is a band, because it's not a band, or this is an
so
album.
So when you say multimedia, it's music, but it's more than that.
It's more than that.
And what is the more?
So I kind of, because of like the music business being the way it is, I feel like things have to be more mutable, and you have to be able to do more shit. So I kind of created this like broad spectrum concept project mm-hmm. where it's like, you know, I'm Militia, but then my band is Militia Vox. So, which is AKA Militia's voice. So like as the band, you get to hear like the music that I'm creating, the songs that I've written, and then any kind of music that I want to reinterpret and do it my way. I do it under the umbrella of The Villainous, Militia Vox.
Cool.
I'm also putting out a book of poetry and eroticism from a female perspective that's very like dark and... I tend to think it's something that like women, like what women really feel about sexuality, but they don't really say it because they're afraid of coming off as slutty or coming off as whorish or whatever, that they're expected to be a certain way.
Like saying you were sandwiched between Stevie Nicks and Clive Davis.
Exactly. Because that's the ultimate in slutty. So there's that, and it's kind of like, it's that, and then it's also personal thoughts and lyrics and pictures and all that kind of stuff.
Now,
is that book.
Is that going to be geared to both a male and female audience? Or
sure.
Just, yeah, because
absolutely.
It sounds really cool.
What guy wouldn't want to read that?
Yeah, I want to read it. Like,
see? Exactly.
You already got me.
It's kind of like, you know, like some girl's like dirty journal, but it's not like some girl's dirty journal. It's mine, so it's good. Like a lot more mischievous than, I guess, the average girl. But so there's that, and then there's also like the live performance aspects. I've created concerts under different, I shouldn't even say, like, it's like there's different concerts. You're never going to see the same show twice when you come to see Militia Box. So, for example, Militia's Heavy Metal House of Voodoo, I've added like a New Orleans style, like voodoo, like horn section with my metal band for like a thicker orchestration. And it's kind of like a blend of the Divine Miss M meets Metallica's S&M. So it's still dark and heavy, so any metalhead will like it. However, it's got that weird little gree-gree in it that makes it like kind of scary and haunting and dark and edgy.
That's cool.
And the venue that it's at is this burlesque house. So it's like beautiful and it's all white and like we're going to come in there with our darkness and just like
which venue
up.
Is that? Because I know of a couple places.
Duane Park?
Where is that at?
It's the old Bowery Poetry Club.
Okay.
They've renovated the whole place. It's all white and like stunning looking.
Wow, that's great.
So I wanted to create a project that would be able to work in different atmospheres. So it's flexible. So it's like, all right, well, I can go into Duane Park and do, I shouldn't even say campier, but just like a more streamlined type of show that's a little bit more cabaret-esque. But also, like, my band's head is playing that CBGB's thing, which is going to be, like, more punk-oriented. And then we're going to play in Austin, and it's going to be, like, very, like, voodoo, hoodoo, but very visual, you know? So, like, I took this thing as a means to just be able to do a flexible thing. So it's not like, you know, if you go see Rush, it's going to be the same way.
Right.
You know what to expect when you go to a Rush show. But when you come to see Militia Vox, it's going to be different always. Sometimes I'll have a 30-piece orchestra with my metal band. Sometimes it'll just be the orchestra. Sometimes it'll be the orchestra and the horns. You know, it's like sometimes it'll be, you know, it's going to be different all the time. I just wanted to, like, give people, A, a reason to come back and see it, and B, have it be exciting to my brain. Because as an artist, my brain moves, like, very fast. And I don't want anything to seem redundant. So that's why I created this thing, to make it always ever-changing and exciting, you know.
Where can people find out about this online? Is there a website? Is
yep.
it your website?
Yeah, go to my website, www.militiaismyname.com.
Okay.
MILITIAISMYNAME. And there's always updates about, like, what I'm doing and what shows are coming up and what to expect. I basically, like, took everything that I like in life and put it into a blender.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I like horror. I like, you know, dark aesthetics. I like heavy music. You know, I like witchy type things. I'm just going to blend it all up and put it out in different forms.
Right. Gotcha.
So I even have shows that are multimedia. So if you come see the show, there's projections going on during the show. You know, that's all been videoed in advance with, like, clips that I painstakingly went through and created, so it's in time with the music.
Excellent.
You know, shit like that. So it's, like, it's an event. It's a happening. It's not just, like, oh, yeah, we're a bunch of people getting together to play, you know? Mm-hmm. It's more theatrical than other stuff that I've done in the past, and, like, my band is representative of that, you know? And I kind of took people from, like, other areas of my life and put them together in this super group, so, like, Josette from Priestess is on lead guitar. And then Cassandra Sotos is on electric violin. We played together with Mark Wood, who I know from Van Helsing's Curse.
Okay, right.
You know, and then like...
Which Dee Snider was...
Right.
Yeah.
And then like Matt James and I played together when we did this ambitious orchestra with the Lady Circus and did, you know, that whole aerial thing at House of Yes in Brooklyn, you know, who also plays in Angel Spit. You know, it's like, it's very incestuous, this whole band.
Gotcha.
But it all makes sense in my mind. Like, it's just like these are people that I love working with, so why wouldn't I use them for something else? And then it creates more jobs and work for them and then me. And then we're able to play more events because we're flexible in how we play.
Cool.
You know, and it's more exciting because it's more shit. It's just like more stuff to consider. I can play a stripped down show with just me and Josette on guitar, you know, and it would still be just as intense as the huge, you know, orchestrated concerts with the multimedia projections and shit, you know, so.
Right on.
I just want to create something unique.
Speaking of musicians from your past, what happened with the Swear on Your Life? Is that defunct now or do you envision it coming
back? Well, it was
back
always funky.
Yeah.
I still wear
it
the
was
t-shirt.
Defunct, actually. No, it was literally, honestly, I got sick of bringing in new members that had an equal say onto
right.
what happens with the band.
Yeah.
Because when I'm like the head, like bitch in charge, and I'm splitting votes
right.
with people about, oh, do we put this person in the liner notes? It's like, well, yeah, we do because we do. And then have people go, no, and my vote is equal to yours. It's like, well, no, because I make all the other decisions and
right.
I'm putting more investment into it. So that whole equal vote thing is just not for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Well, I feel that way with John, actually.
Oh, of course. How can you not? Look what he shows up dressed in, his striped shirt.
My work outfit.
I know.
Melissa, thanks so much for coming back once again. I believe your fourth time on the show. I'm not
yep.
sure. I'm going to have to go back
yeah,
and count.
Four.
But we always love catching up with you, and you always have so much cool stuff going on. We want the Talking Metal listeners to go and support you. Check out your website. I know you're on Twitter. Are you on Facebook too?
Sure, of course.
Okay. Where do we see you on Facebook?
Well, my personal page is Militia is my name. It's facebook.com/Militia is my name.
Okay.
But I'm maxed out, so don't add me, people. Like my, I hate to say fan page.
Right.
I feel like fan is like one of the worst words in existence these days.
It's true. We you know, sometimes accidentally say, oh, Talking Metal fan. But
I say
supporter.
Is,
yeah, that's supporter. Good. Supporter
yeah.
is good. I say Talking Metal listener or viewer. But I like supporter.
But as an artist, you can't say that. So I say
right.
supporter.
Yeah, I think I'm going to change it to, can I steal that? Can I use supporter too?
Sure.
Okay. But we understand. You don't want to say
drink.
Fan.
Bud friendly fans are still referred to as fans. In that case, that's acceptable because it's the only way to be. But
yeah,
well, thanks so much for joining us. And
by the way,
we will
I
link,
want to tell you the
yes,
yeah, the
yeah
link.
We will link your Facebook page, but give us the official address.
It's
fan
it's,
page,
yeah,
supporter
page.
Yes,
it's www.facebook.com/militiaofficial. And I wish I could change that, but until Zuckerberg makes it easy to combine, you know, the personal page and the supporter page.
Right.
That's what I have right now. So, Militia Official.
Cool. And of course, Talking Metal has a few different pages on there, guys. So search Talking Metal. You will find us on Facebook too. And do we give the Twitter handle? I think we do.
Mine is Militia yeah. is my name.
Militia mm-hmm. is my name. And so much exciting stuff going on. What would you like to play for the Talking Metal listener right now?
Ooh.
It can be some one of your songs, or we can play a cover, you know.
Well, of course I'm going to be vain.
Yes.
I want you all to hear The Guilty One by Militia Box.
Excellent.
And actually, that song is on the Black Rock Coalition compilation CD about black women in metal. And it came out in conjunction with Lena Dawes' book called What Are You Doing Here? That's all about black women in metal. So it's like a black woman's liberation in hardcore and metal scene.
Who am I? A traitor to myself. In your heart, a hazard to my health. What day I woke up and I stopped and looked around. I shook from your suffocation and found my ambition smashed, lying dead on the ground with self-preservation crying out. I am the guilty, I'm the guilty. sleep at night now, 'cause I'm sane. I'll wear the scarlet letter in your name. I'll play the villain, baby, just the same. Because you need someone, someone to blame.
Get out!